see how great they are, I know it's a great fun.
Wait, is this the one?
Yeah. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sadness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Asleep in Jesus, blessed sleep, from which none ever wakes to weep. A calm and undisturbed repose, unbroken by the last of foes. Asleep in Jesus, oh how sweet to be for such a slumber meet. With holy confidence to sing that death has lost its venom sting. Asleep in Jesus, peaceful rest, whose waking is supremely blessed. No fear, no woe shall dim that hour, that manifests the Savior's power. Asleep in Jesus, far from thee, thy kindred and their graves may be, but thine is still a blessed sleep, from which none ever wakes.
282.
Lead me safely on by the narrow way from the shores of time to the realms of day. By the cross of Christ may I ever stand as I journey on to the better land. Lead me on.
Who's 77?
The Lord has been so good to me. I want to sing His praise. I want to glorify His name all my remaining days. The Lord has been so good to me. I will on Him depend, and every day wherever I be, I would His truth defend. I want to follow in His steps and show my love this way. I want to lift His banner up each fair or cloudy day. The Lord has been so good to me. I will on Him depend, and every day wherever I be, I would His truth defend. I want to mingle with His saints while here on earth I stay, and meet them on the golden shore on that eternal day. The Lord has been so good to me. I will on Him depend, and every day wherever I be, I would His truth defend. Lord Jesus, wilt Thou mercy show and save me by Thy grace, that I may win this life look on Thy lovely face. The Lord has been so good to me. I will on Him depend, and every day wherever I be, I will His truth defend. And in the land of endless bliss, where all the praise is high, some humble place at Thy dear feet may this poor sinner find. The Lord has been so good to me. I will on Him depend, and every day I would His truth defend.
272.
Which was that?
272.
Oh, troubled heart, there is a home beyond the reach of toil and care, a home where changes never come. Who would not fain be resting there? Oh, wait, meekly wait and murmur not. Oh, meekly wait and murmur not. Oh, wait. Look up, Thou reach that blessed abode. Wake me
quickly wait and murmur not. Oh, wait, oh, wait, oh, wait and murmur not. All on our kingdom sorry be. Once I unheard one prayer for God, the day of rest will dawn for thee. Wait me, please wait and murmur not. Oh, wait, meekly wait, meekly wait and murmur not. Oh, wait, meekly wait and murmur not. Oh,
first order of business is to acknowledge God as our Lord and Master and thank Him for bringing us safely through another night, providing us a mind that would cause us to want to be here this day. We have so much to be thankful for, and we give Him all the honor and glory for our blessings. It's good to see each and every one of you here. There's sick that's not able to be with us. We want to remember them this morning. Say it's good to see the ones that were able to make it. Good to see Sister Janie here recovering from surgery, and glad that she was able to be able to get out this morning. And all those that's made an effort. We read in the book of Ecclesiastes that Solomon wrote about all the things that were vanity, all the things that were meaningless in the grand scope of things when we step back and say, well, that didn't matter. And he said the whole purpose of man is that we fear God and obey His commands, that we look to Him whenever we realize we've been blessed. We look to Him whenever we are in need and have problems. Paul, I think it was in the first letter to the church at Corinth, said that whatever we eat, whatever we drink, we are to thank God for it. In everything we do, we give God the praise and honor and glory that's due His name. I hope that we're here this day that we can do that. I hope we can look to God and take out the cares and trials that we have every day that slow us down and that consume our minds all the time. And I hope for just a little while that we can stop and think on God, His blessings to us. I asked this morning that Elder J.D. Belton out here is still having a real hard time. I ask that you remember him and his dear companion when you go to God in prayer. Continue to pray for the sick and the afflicted. Has anybody heard from Brother Draper lately? Is he doing better?
Last time I was at St. Stephen, he said he was taking some blood, but days later, he's getting weak again, maybe a week later or so. They said you better go on back and take
it. Is anyone else that we need to remember this morning in our prayers? Your grandson's been in basic training yet?
Yeah, he got through with the 13 weeks at Crash Island, and now he's at Camp Geiger with 4 weeks of infantry training. He's doing good.
What was that camp at?
Camp.
Oh, Camp Machine.
Randy Jackson.
yeah, remember Elder Radford, anyone else?
Nancy Mays is waiting for surgery. She's waiting for the test to do, back surgery.
Is this the one she was supposed to have way back, or is this another? Brother Keith, can you pick us out a song to sing?
231.
Number 231. Stand and rest your legs if you have a mind to.
Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. As thou didst break the loaf beside the sea, beyond the sacred page, I seek thee.
Confessing no righteousness of our own, but come through the shed blood of thy Son, through his mercy and his grace that has raised us up once again, O Lord, that we may come and express our thanksgiving and our praise unto thy holy name. Gracious God, as we sing the song, please send thy spirit unto us that we may see. We ask, O God, that you would touch the eyes and the ears of those that's gathered here, that they may see thy glory proclaimed in all that we do. Gracious God, we ask you to look upon us and see our hurts and our falling downs and our backslidings. Gracious God, we ask you to be around about each one, that you lift them up in each one of them's personal obligations. Gracious God, we have those that's been through surgeries and those that are facing surgeries, those that have personal trials and tribulations before and after them. Dear God, thou knowest our needs and all our desires as we come this day, and we ask, O Lord, that you hear each one and lift them up in their own way. Gracious God, we ask you to give them strength to resist the temptations of this world. Give them strength to rise up in the midst of their afflictions. We ask, O God, that you would bless them, O Lord, that that thou would see and hear thy truth in the word, and that thou hast promised that they would never leave them, and that you would never depart from them. Gracious God, we thank you for this glory this day. Dear God, as we meet here this day, we desire that we may search the scriptures and see thy mercy, and see thy son dying on the cross, and see him rising again, triumphant over death. We thank you, O Lord, that thou hast given us this hope, that we have an eternal life based solely upon our Savior's death upon the cross, that we have now no condemnation in thine eyes. Gracious God, we thank you for this day. We ask you to be around about each and every one of here, us, and to hear our prayers, both spoken and unspoken, that we may have peace and comfort as we go about our days. Gracious God, we ask you to bless this dear country that you have so many times in the past. Continue to be around about us and cause our leaders to look unto thee for direction, that we may continue to be a blessed nation that is looked upon by the whole world as a God-fearing nation. Gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to praise thee. We ask you to be around about us, and we ask you to bless all the soldiers on foreign soils and here at home. Bless them with a strength and a courage to do about their duty, but also be a shield around about them that they would return to our home sides with a safety and a comfort that they were brought up in. Gracious God, bless us all. In Christ's name we humbly pray, and amen. Sometimes I feel like I get too simple in what I want to say or what's on my mind. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to oversimplify it, that you don't already know that. We're told that we need to hear the same thing over and over again. And if I say something that, oh, I know that, I've known that all my life, I don't want you to think that it's not necessary, because sometimes we need to keep things in the forefront of our mind. When God created, I think he had a mind and purpose for his action. I don't want anyone to think, and here's one of those times, I don't want anybody to think that God stood up one day and had a magic wand and said, I'm going to wave this, I've never done it before, I'm going to wave it and see what happens. I don't believe that, and I don't believe you do either. I believe he had a purpose and a will in doing what he did. He created for a purpose. It was not accident. He didn't walk around the corner and say, well, where'd you come from? He spoke and it was. He had a system, and each thing that he spoke into existence had a purpose. And whether we understand the purposes is not relevant right now. But I think he made a sun to give us light and heat. There was already light, so he didn't do it because he needed to. He done it for us. He created a moon so that the sailors could navigate at night. He created trees to provide shade for us in the daytime in the hot sun, and to provide fruit for us to eat, and to provide fuel and energy for us. He created plants and animals that a cycle could be maintained, a self-replenishing cycle. He did it all with a purpose, and each one was to be a food for the next one, or a shade for this, or whatever. And then on the sixth day, his master of creation was that he created man. This was to be the ultimate. And we want to think that God created all this other stuff for us, and he may have, to make us comfortable. He created the beautiful flowers that we can marvel at what God has done. That wasn't an accident. Sunsets and sunrises and stars, they're not accidents. They're created, I think, for us. That may be too simplistic, I don't know. But he also created man for a purpose. When God created man and he spoke to Adam, he told him what his purpose was. He was very specific in what he required of him. He gave one command, and that was to be obedient. Do as I tell you to do. Now, the reason he done that, as best that I can understand, the reason God gave this one command is that we would know our obligation. As soon as God placed that tree in the garden and says, don't eat of that, that established our position in this world. Because we could hear God and obey him. We were told that I am the boss. This is what God said. I make the rules, and the rule is, don't do this. Nothing wrong with that tree, I don't believe. It wasn't poison, obviously. It wasn't bitter tasting. But it was the establishment of a sovereign God, creator over his creation. And we are to understand that. He says, be obedient. And do as I say. And in Adam's case, it was to not eat of this tree. To be obedient, to not do this. And we've been trying to get this right ever since then. And we have trouble with this one little command, to be obedient. Now, I'll tell you, I'm not standing here because on this side of the book board, because I have a closer connection with God than you do. I'm not here because my prayers are more sincere than yours. I'm not standing here because I can sing better songs than you, or I can pronounce more biblical names than you. What I am standing here today to tell you is that we're all here for the same purpose, that we might take this book and together try to sing and try to pray and try to go through these words so that our hearts might express the love and praise to this great God to fulfill our purpose. We're here for that purpose, is to be obedient to our God in a way that he has intended. Now, if what we do does not reflect this almighty, all-powerful, sovereign God, if we fail to do that, we have failed in our mission this morning. By his definition, by God's word, he tells us that you can have, in so many words, that you can have the grandest cathedral, the most majestic artwork in this very expensive cathedral, and you can have a thousand voice choir, and you can have a hundred eloquent speakers up here. But they cannot worship God unless they proclaim his sovereignty over all creation. It does not translate into worship. So we can worship if it was two or three here, or if it's 2,000 or 3,000. We can worship if we have a grand organ or just someone to lead the song. And I'm not meaning to put you down on the other end of the spectrum. But I want you to see that the object of worship is not how polished you can be, not how loud you can be, But it's what you accomplish. You observe that one command is be obedient to listen to God's command and do what He tells you. Now every church that meets in His name ought to have that as their main goal. And most of them do. But here it gets tricky, and some churches get it messed up. We don't do what we do to show God how good we can obey Him. We do what we do is to show His glory. It's not about, look what I've done, God. I've attended all these meetings, and I've supported the church, and I've done this and done that. Look how good I am. It's not about that. We don't look and try to convince God how good we are so we can go to heaven. We come to church to praise God for what His Son done that allows us to go to heaven. It's a fine line there, and a lot of times we get it mixed up. And we're trying to impress God. But we need to understand that we're impressed with God, not trying to impress God. Now, it used to be a whole lot easier to be obedient to God. Just a few years ago, neighborhoods, schools in that neighborhood, churches in that neighborhood, families in that neighborhood, they all formed a community of with certain boundaries. And in these certain boundaries, if someone come in and tried to open a store that sold stuff that was inappropriate, the neighborhood would band together and say, no, not in our place. We won't have it. If some teacher tried to teach something in school that wasn't appropriate, run them out of town. Same way with churches, same way with government. If government tried to pass laws that didn't make sense or were against biblical teaching, vote them out of office. And we were safe. Children were raised in a safe environment. If somebody told me something out behind the barn that wasn't right, I could expect it would be corrected either at my house or when I went to church next week, or at school or somewhere. But somebody in this spiritual community that we had would straighten me out. We were safe. And we didn't have to worry about a lot of temptations and a lot of things that go on. But it's kind of like, Sister Lena, if you went to McDonald's every day for the next 10 years, you might forget how to cook. And that's what we did. We got to where we weren't studying and making sure this was what God wanted, because that's what was all around us. We got kind of lazy. But things have changed. Back then, as long as you behaved yourself, as long as you didn't create a ruckus in the neighborhood or in the schools or in church or whatever, you had half the battle won. All you had to worry about is going to church and making sure you got your prayers right. But all that's changed now. Society has changed, and our communities have opened up, and there's no borders around them anymore. Our government has changed. They are not there to protect you anymore. They're there to get reelected. Our schools are not there to raise a fine, upstanding young man anymore. They're mainly there to get a certain score on these tests so they can get more money from the government to build a bigger school and buy more computers. And a whole lot of daddies and mothers don't bring their children to church anymore. We don't have time. It's getting harder and harder to know or to be able to live in a spiritual boundary. And we need to get back to the foundation to read the directions. In the book of Mark, when you read through Mark and see that Jesus came and he was preaching the gospel, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he was choosing his disciples. And as he went along, he performed miracles. He caused people that were blind to be able to see, and people that were sick to be able to rise up. He performed miracles to show the people that he wasn't just all talk. He even fed 4,000 at one time with just a few fish and some bread. And it says, as he was coming out of Galilee with his apostles, there were a great multitude that had begun to follow him because they had heard what he was preaching and they had seen what he was doing. And this great multitude was following him as he left Galilee on his way to Philippi. And he said he stopped and he called them all together. And he says in the 34th chapter of the book of Mark, 8th book of Mark, he says, whosoever will come after me. Now all these people, this multitude was following, but he says, whosoever will come after me in a spiritual sense, if you believe in what I preach to you, if you trust in what I have told you, said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Deny yourself. Understand, it's not about how good you've been. It's how good God has been to you. It's not about you. But you must depend solely upon the righteousness of Christ. And he says, take up your cross. Understand, this was in a Jewish community, and Christ was telling them that I am the Messiah. This went against their culture, their teaching, their heritage. And understandably, they didn't like what they heard, a lot of them. So they were constantly being persecuted. And I can see in the future where you might have to endure some persecutions. We may end up being persecuted by some of the